Christian Laettner has joined us on Sports Byline USA. He now is an assistant coach for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the NBA Development League. You know, a lot of people may not be familiar with that league. It's somewhat of a minor league to the NBA. Tell me about what coaches try to do with the players they have on their squad at that level, Christian.
Well, it's called the D-League, so what they try to do is they try to develop players who can, you know, take the next step up and get a chance in the NBA. But at the same time, they try to win games. And sometimes it's hard because your best players get caught, you know, get called up. Sometimes it's hard because people get injured. But the main purpose of the league is to develop players, and that's what we're really working hard at here. And I'm telling you, I love it. I absolutely love it. I've been on the team now for about a week and a half, and it's very, very enjoyable.
How coachable are those kids at that level? Because it's not like they're in high school or it's not like they're in college starting out and the coach is the authoritative figure. You know, these are kids that have moved beyond college and now are hoping to make it to the NBA. How coachable are they, Christian?
Well, my experience for the last 10 days has been that they're very coachable. There's some older guys, you know, some 28, 30-year-old guys on the team, and they're extremely coachable. And then we also have some young kids on the team, you know, 22, 23, and they all seem very coachable too. So now maybe we're just lucky and we have a group of good guys, but, you know, that's what you try to always have on your team. You try to have good kids who are responsible, like we've been talking about, good kids that are coachable. Because if you have a guy on your team who's not coachable, he just ruins the whole team, so you got to get rid of him. But we're lucky here in Fort Wayne. We have a group. We have 10 guys that are very nice men, very good men, and very, very coachable.
You know, you played 13 years in the NBA. You averaged better than 13 points. You had 7 rebounds a game as well. And I remember asking Al Addles why I've seen certain players, say, in the playgrounds that had great playground careers but were not able to make it at the NBA level. And I remember him telling me, Christian, that you got to be able to play system basketball. Anybody that plays double-digit years in professional basketball has my respect. What does it take, A, to make it into the NBA, and B, to last into double-digit years?
Well, it really helps if you're a great basketball player. It really helps if you're an incredible athlete and, you know, all those things. But the main thing it comes down to is just how good are you on the basketball court? And there's not that many great basketball players around on a year-to-year basis. That's why, you know, the NBA, there's so many foreign players now because it seems like the troops are dwindling down and the NBA's reach has to go further and further around the world to find these great players. So to have a long career in the NBA, you know, it might seem funny and people might laugh, but you have to be tall. You have to be extremely athletic. You have to be able to put that ball in the hoop. You have to be able to play extremely high-level defense. And that's what people don't realize about the NBA is that just because it looks like they're not playing hard out there and it looks like they're not putting forth a lot of effort, it doesn't mean they're not putting forth a lot of effort. What it means is that they make it look so easy. And everyone out there in the NBA is an unbelievable defender, an unbelievable basketball player.
Well, but isn't defense, I remember talking to the late Dennis Johnson about defense, and he said it's more attitude than it is anything else. Don't you have to have a defensive attitude? You want to go out and climb inside that guy's jersey and make him feel like, you know, you've been on his back for 4 quarters?
It's definitely an attitude. It's like a chip on your shoulder attitude where you're not going to let anyone defeat you, even for a second. Every play on the basketball court is a mini competition, a mini challenge. When you're on defense, if your man just catches the ball, you should be challenging him on that catch. If the guy you're guarding is dribbling the ball, you should be competing with him on every dribble and challenging him for every dribble. And that's what Coach K is great about when he, you know, I call it the gospel of Coach K. It's just everything is contested. Everything is challenged, and that's why he loves people who are very, very high, ultra-competitive. And I know that's one thing that he loved about me, was that I was ultra-competitive.
Also, has the game evolved from the big man to the perimeter game and the guards and everything? It just doesn't seem like the big man is as dominant as it used to be.
No, the big man is still extremely, extremely dominant, but it's just it seems like there's not as many big men around anymore.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest guys in the NBA is Dwight Howard, and he's extremely dominant. And Kevin Love is another big man in the NBA, and he's extremely dominant. But it just seems like our country or our colleges aren't pumping out as many big guys as we used to. But, you know, you can still have a lot of success in basketball, you know, even if you're not 7 feet tall and 280 pounds and look like Dwight Howard and, you know, can run through a wall. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe we don't feed our kids the right way in the United States. I don't know, but there's some great players in the NBA, and a lot of them are very tall.
Let me ask you about 1992. You were a member of the first Olympic Dream Team. I was up in Portland, Oregon, and I met you up there, and I had a chance to talk to you for just a couple of minutes. But that was a very special team, and yet you're a guy that was coming out of college and everything. Tell me what that experience was from your perspective, as young as you were, being on a team that had so many great professionals.
Well, it was a total learning experience for me. I was the 12th man on the team. There was no way that I was supposed to play in front of anyone on that team, because that team that they assembled in 92 was the greatest team ever put together, probably except for me. And so it was a huge learning experience for me. It was kind of like a measuring stick for me. I had to see where I was, what I had to work on and improve on. And it was just a dream come true in terms of being a part of that team, playing with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, because, you know, after that year, no one played with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird after that. They both retired, so it was just a dream come true, and my whole family was able to be a part of it, and, you know, we still talk about it to this day.
Mike told me that some of the best games were the games between the two teams, meaning when you guys split up squads and played against each other in scrimmages and everything. Down in San Diego, he was telling me about a couple of games down at the training camp down there that you had. What were those games like?
They were just, you know, arguably the best basketball ever played on a basketball court. With Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Stockton and Barkley and Jordan and Ewing and all those guys, it was the best basketball ever played, and I was always there just tagging along, trailing behind them a few steps, trying to hang with those guys, and it was very, very challenging, but at the same time, extremely fun.
Was there anything that you picked up in that experience that was able to be helpful to you once you got into the NBA? Because, I mean, you got to look-see into some of the greatest players and how the game was played long before anybody else, and not in the same way that any other college kid would have.
Yeah, I realized that I have to get stronger and faster and more athletic and better and keep working on my game and developing my game because you know, they were the best players in the world. Every one of them was an all-star. And I wanted to be a great player, and I wanted to be an all-star in the NBA also. So I had to keep developing my game and continue to work hard.
You know, the other thing, too, Christian, about that was you're talking about great stars, superstars, and you can't be a superstar without an ego. But it seemed like everybody subverted their egos for the team and for the benefit of the team. Am I correct about that?
Yes, you are correct. You definitely have to put your ego aside at certain times, you know, for the benefit of the team. And I'm not saying all the guys put their egos, you know, check their egos at the door all the time, but it seemed like when we got on the court against another country, be it Brazil or whoever we played, that everyone definitely then checked their egos, and it really allowed us to play at a very, very high level. And you know, I think we won every game by 30 or 40 points. So that was crucial. And Chuck Daly did a very, very good job at making sure that we checked our egos at the door when game time happened. Once we stepped on the court and we were playing against a foe, someone from another country, the guys did a very good job checking their egos at the door.
Christian, I want to thank you very much for your time and your insights on basketball. Continued good luck, and I hope things go well for you in Fort Wayne. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Ron. Anytime.
Christian Leitner with us, again, assistant coach for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, but won two NCAA championships when he was at Duke University and was on that dream team in 92. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.